meeting of the Bond Oversight Committee of March 20th, 2018, now come to order at 6:03 p.m. on this March 20th, 2018. We have two individuals that are absent tonight. That would be Greg Grissom and Mike Dansby. Mike Dansby has some confusion as far as his priorities are concerned because of all things, he's in New York City watching his son graduate from college there.
Wow. That's outrageous.
What's the priority there instead of the college? My goodness. And Greg has responsibility as president of his homeowners association in order to have some control over his community. So we understand that. Especially HOAs, yes. And so with that...
Wilds of Westlake.
Yes.
Akin to training cats.
We do have a quorum. And the minutes for the March the 20th regular meeting is on your desk in front of you if you had a chance to look over those. Dina sent those out earlier prior to the last, next to the last meeting. Or excuse me, the last meeting, I'm sorry. And I believe they are all in order, and I would entertain a motion to acknowledge such.
I'm motion to approve the minutes.
Wendy Smiley has moved to approve the minutes. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second, Tom Shea. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Minutes have been approved. Open forum. Do we have anyone here for the open forum? As I'm looking toward the back of the room, a young man named Clay is here. We need to give him recognition. He is somehow related to one of our board members here, our BOC members, rather. We appreciate your attendance. And we also, we're going to recognize your self-discipline in sitting back there through some of this. So. Excellent. All right. Overview of construction projects and associated costs. Jeremy and Krish. Have the floor. Let's hear it, Mr. Jeremy.
So Eric tells me there's no real updates with the technology side of it, and I don't have many updates when it comes to the construction side and non-facility as well. Again, most of the projects have been awarded. We're going through the pre-construction phase and getting ready for the summer, and so a lot of the planning is going on right now, and most of it's complete. We're just getting ready to start when the teachers get out. So there's some projects that we're coordinating with the staff. They have to pack up and move out of their classrooms and things like that. So we're coordinating all that. That's kind of the typical stage that we're at every May, it seems like. But we'll continue to move forward with the projects that are already on slate. We haven't heard of any delays or anything like that as of yet. So we'll hit the ground running. A majority of those projects start June 4th, so we allow campus staff to pack up, do anything they need to that first week after school's out, and then we'll hit the ground running, ready to go.
So when does school actually close for the teachers?
So they'll be here the 28th and 29th, that Monday and Tuesday of the next week are their calendar days.
All right. So June the 4th, they will be gone, meaning that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so what we do is we actually turn their badges off. You know, we don't want them in the building. But, you know, anything that they need, they just contact me and I can get them in there. Right. But we don't want them just, you know, randomly going up even on a weekend because a lot of times we'll work over the weekends on a lot of these projects. Mm-hmm. So we're ready. Contractors are ready. We'll hit the ground running. So any specific questions y'all may have on any projects that y'all can think of? I want to give
is
you at least
is road construction impacting what's happening at Beans Elementary at all?
It's really not. They're a little ahead schedule. I didn't think they're going to be building that retaining wall until the summer.
Right.
so that snuck up on me. They've been very good in communicating. I'll tell you right now that TxDOT's done an incredible job of communication there. Until I saw the retaining wall going through.
Which retaining wall are you talking about?
Right in front of the parking lot at Eanes Elementary.
Gotcha.
And so what will happen, that retaining wall comes really close to the parking lot. And so that was my only concern. But they've been able to to do it, and they've got it poured and got the block installed, so they're good. And then there'll be a sidewalk and a handrail that goes up next to it. So got through that without any issues, but it won't interfere with any projects we have on site this summer.
Will the sidewalk be on the school side of the retaining
wall? It'll actually be on the street side.
On the street side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there'll be a handrail that goes on top of the wall, just because it's about, 3.5 feet.
Yeah, I noticed it tonight. I hadn't seen it until today.
Yeah, and so it gets really close as you get closer to the marquee, gets really close to the participants. And they originally designed it to cut through two of our parking spaces, which we negotiated to move the wall. And so we didn't lose any parking there, which is a good thing. We'll have to relocate the marquee once we have everything kind of situated, but we didn't lose any parking, which was a good thing. One project that the city has is to widen Camp Craft from V Caves to Eanes School Road in order to have a turn lane. And so that's a project they have on slate for this summer.
Yeah,
to address the drainage too, right?
And the drainage, yes. And then in their bond package, they have the whole Camp Craft to get above the floodplain. And so that'll come in future, but this summer they're trying to get at least that small expansion.
The right turn lane, basically. Because there is enough room next to that daycare for a right turn lane.
Right, yeah, exactly. So they want to go all the way past the Trinity entrance. Mm-hmm. That was their main goal. But one thing is they can't start that until TxDOT has their road, because they don't want to build their road here and then, just make that little, small abutment kind of what's there now. They want to improve that, so they want to coordinate that, and hopefully that happens over the summer, because we definitely don't want that in August still going on. And so they're working with us on their schedule, but I think they're just waiting on TxDOT to kind of finalize some of their plans.
It's more that they usually don't want two contractors in the same right of way at the same time.
True, they're very true.
Bad idea. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that. It's hard to know because TxDOT has been very good in working around the district schedule, but then our summers are so short that you can't cram everything in there with TxDOT and then this other contractor. So it's going to be an interesting coordination. But I think one of the main values is TxDOT's kept their project manager the same for the last year and a half, 2 years. So I think that's helped them kind of streamline their project. I figured Ryan'd be gone by now.
That's something new for TxDOT.
I know.
Same project manager.
Yeah, it's impressive that Ryan McCabe has stayed on it the whole entire time. Hopefully he stays throughout the project. Yeah. But I can imagine coming to work every day and working on that project, and it's going to be a headache.
So. Jeremy, I had another question on the CO1.
Yeah.
Back before I took my short tenure, a short time off. I think we had only purchased less than half of those buses. What's been done with the replacement of the 8 buses?
Okay, so we replaced 5. We have 3 remaining buses to replace. And one more special education bus, and then 2 more buses, and I'll talk today about a scope change that will include metro buses. So we have regular 72 passenger buses, those that are typical school bus, but we also have 84 passenger metro buses. Those are those long buses you may see, flat nose buses, and so we can carry a lot more students on those, and so we can get to some of those outlying areas with less resources. And we also take those on field trips as well. So they're a valuable resource to this district. Not all districts can take advantage of a large metro bus like that, but this district can, just because of some of the areas that we go to that we carry.
But that's not the same as the 2 we bought originally, which were upgraded or whatever with the storage and whatnot, right? I mean, the first 2 we bought.
The metro buses come with the storage underneath.
Is that what we bought, the first 2? Because I thought they were when Tim came in, he's like, okay, yeah, these are things, we may take them on field trips and whatnot, mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. so we had bought, so those are the same.
Yeah, the metro, and again, when you buy metro, one thing is they come with the under frame storage with them as well. Just
because that's kind of the intent behind them.
Who took Tim's place? I understand.
Okay, so Tim did retire.
No.
Unfortunately, my friend Tim retired. And so he has this place down on the coast, but he's also up in Nebraska now, Omaha, Nebraska. Moved up there with his daughter who moved there as well. So we brought on a new director, Fritz Klebundi, and he was at Round Rock ISD as their transportation director. So we brought him on board. He brings a wealth of knowledge, and he used to work for Eanes a number of years ago as a shop foreman, and then he went off and to a couple other districts, and so he's made his way back. So we're excited to have him back, but he does bring a wealth of knowledge from his experiences, not only with Round Rock but the other school districts as well. And so he knows the district. So he just hit the ground running. So going to be a valuable add to our group. We do have a new director within transportation.
I was actually at a meeting with Round Rock ISD the other day. And they let me know that we stole him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
We did, we could steal
people.
We
were sad to lose him, so I thought that was very nice.
Yeah. I think he's a huge asset. And I think he ran into you. Did he run into you? He was mentioning possibly because he's president of TAPT, Texas Association of Pupil Transportation, so he's head of that organization. So
just to clarify, all of the flat-nose buses that we own are the larger Metro?
Not all of them.
Okay.
No, there are some flat-nose, short, 72 passengers.
That's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you'll notice that the big ones you'll notice because they are very long buses. Okay. You can tell they're significantly larger than the other ones.
And they've got those storage things underneath. Mm-hmm. Like the care of the coaches or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they do get used for field trips.
We'll have a significant discussion further on buses later on.
Yeah,
when you go to the action item. Yes.
And the Forest Trail Fire. Mm-hmm. Any other wrinkles or surprises?
No. We are slated to. We're going to complete that project. We're slated to complete that project. Got everything in place, ready to go. Teachers are ready to get out of their classrooms, get some fire sprinkler. It's just the communication to the campus staff is always fun to tell them that they have to pack up and we're going to put some fire sprinklers in there, and they're not going to notice anything when they get back, unfortunately. But we won't be moving them out of their classroom for several years. We can tell them that.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're set up good. Also, even on the CO2, the furniture, so we have all of our dates slated for all the new furniture coming in and dates slated for all the existing furniture to get it out. So we'll have all that in place to make that a successful project over the summer. And so it's going to be a very busy June because all the furniture is coming in phases over the month of June. So we'll be by July, we'll have majority of that in place at all levels, elementary, middle, and high school.
And we're going to put the old furniture for surplus or on sale, or how?
So we have, there's 90 classrooms. So we don't have room in our warehouse, and we built a warehouse, we don't have room for 90 classrooms worth of furniture. So we have solicited to sell that furniture in place, which means that whoever we sell it to will come and actually pick it up from the campus. So the more times we touch it, the less efficient and more less economical that is. And so we're selling it in place. The high school, we're actually running through International Recycling Network, and this is a program where they deliver trucks, and we pack the trucks, and they solicit with charitable organizations who purchase that furniture and take it to third world countries. And so that was one of the ways to get that furniture that we can't find. We don't need to store that many classrooms, 30 classrooms at the high school. And so that's just one way to, you know, push a resource to someone who is in dire need for that. So I've done it in Leander. We did that a lot when we did campus furniture replacements, and I think it's a successful story to tell as well. So that's the plan for the high school. Middle and elementary will be sold in place.
That's important for us to know, because invariably somebody's going to ask us, where are we going to spend this much on furniture? Went up to the old furniture. At least
yeah.
We have a response now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't want to be in the place where we got to get rid of all the furniture and then we need more furniture. You know, so we're going to hold back some sets.
Right.
And so we do have a number of them in the warehouse.
Okay. All right.
All right. So what I want to do is real quick jump to the scope change, and this gets back to CO1. And so we've been we visited CO1 once before, mm-hmm. with the replace 8 buses and purchase smart tag equipment for this last year to roll out this year. So we did that. And then what we want to do now is possibly expand that scope to include bus camera system. And then there's a story to lead up to bus camera system. So let me tell you a little story about bus cameras in Eanes ISD and other districts in the state of Texas.
This becomes complicated.
Okay. So a number of years ago, Dallas County Schools is a service provider that started in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to provide services to those surrounding districts. One of the first services they provided was transportation. And so what they do is provide those transportation services to all the school districts up in the DFW area. And then they had a company, Force Multiplier Solutions, that approached them to form a company, Bus Guard, that would implement stop arm camera systems. And so that's what we have on our buses now, our stop arm camera system. So you'll see the camera boxes on the side of the bus. So the stop arm folds out, no car can pass based on the law, and if you do, the camera picks it up. Okay, and so the camera finds it, sends it up to Dallas, they process it, they look at the video, and then they send it to the local jurisdiction, who then adjudicates that violation. So this system was in place and started up in Dallas, and then throughout the state it grew over the last several years into a number of districts. Because it's a great program, because it's a safe program that protects our students and the drivers and the community as well.
What we got out of it was not just a stop arm camera, but also the internal camera.
So with that program, they installed cameras inside the buses as well, as an added benefit.
So we didn't pay anything, as I recall, because they were getting their pay revenue off of the revenue from the thing. Yeah.
Right.
So it was a win-win, and
it was a win-win program. Yeah. And the hardest part of this entire program was getting the local jurisdictions to sign ordinances within their municipality to enforce these. Yeah. And so City of Westlake Hills did so, Rollingwood did so, City of Austin did so, the county did not, and the county probably will never do it, but the local municipalities did. And so it was running good. I mean, we're not a huge revenue generator for this. There's some areas that generate more revenue than others. So it was running in place for about 4 years, and then last November, several members of Dallas County Schools and Force Multiplier Solutions were indicted for fraud, etc. And so the Dallas County Schools has a board, has voters, and they voted to dissolve Dallas County Schools, which provide, again, other services outside of just the Stop Arm program to other districts. So they decided to dissolve that. We don't own the equipment. What happens is that stops the Stop Arm program, okay? And they service our cameras. They host the footage on their cloud, in which we gain access through them to get that camera footage. So now we are sitting with no support on our cameras, and the dissolution committee has informed us that they're going to remove those cameras at a future date. I'm not sure I believe them 100% that they'd ever get to Eanes ISD,
right.
But they have informed us of that. And so that, you know, bus cameras, you know, are an important safety measure for parents, children, and the bus drivers themselves. And so with that information, we went out and solicited an RFP for a bus camera system, just in case. We don't know the future of these cameras, so we needed to have a game plan in place if it did happen. There's another company that came and bought the intellectual property. And they claim that they've been keeping the system operating, But then recently you may have seen in the news that some in Westlake, some community members have received tickets and collection notices. And so that they're suspicious, and so they've been, you get with Dallas County, the dissolution committee, they said, you don't have to pay that. The stop arm program doesn't exist anymore. So this other company is just really, it's getting kind of messy, and so we communicated to them, stop it, right? Cease and desist. We don't want anything to do with you. You know, stop issuing citations, etc. And so they said, okay, we'll turn your cameras off. Well, so they turned the signal off. It's a cell signal to our cameras, so they can't upload video to the cloud. One thing that we do have is a hard drive reader that we have that we can pull the hard drive and actually read to get the footage off of the buses by just removing the hard drive and downloading it. So we have a backup plan for now. And so that's kind of where we sit currently. So we need to get a plan in place for next year, anticipating they're going to come and uninstall these cameras. And so that's why we wanted to come before you today to ask to expand the potential scope. Tim, before he left, applied for a grant with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, for the replacement of two of our older Metro buses. So this is a grant that has to be like for like, exact. And so this would be replacing two Metro buses at $139,000. We would get a reimbursement of $55,000 each for a total of $110,000. And then we need to still purchase one more special education bus at $95,000. So right now we have $263,000 to spend on three buses if we were to get that grant. Right now, and as of April, we have $303,602 remaining in CO1. So what this does is it gains us value where we can still meet the requirement of eight buses and still have some remaining funds to hopefully allocate to this bus camera system to cover some of the costs of that. The total cost is $115,000. For the new camera systems, and so we're going to have to find another funding source in order to fully fund that installation, about $75,000. So right now we have $40,000 left in CO1 that we'd like to allocate to purchasing those bus camera systems. So it's all contingent upon the final approval of that grant. We have been approved for the grant, but this is a two-year grant cycle, so we're in the second grant cycle, which starts September 1 of this year, and so by the end of August, we will know 100% that we have that funding in place, and then we would purchase those buses in mid-September and get delivery in December. One thing is, always the state can change their mind at the last second, say, it's an emergency. We need to use that grant funding for this project over here. And so we won't know 100% until the end of August. That's why we wanted to approach this as a scope change. So if this grant does go through, then we will have the appropriate funds to allocate towards that project.
So, but I mean, the grant is really independent from the camera.
Yes, the grant allows us, within this line item budget, to appropriate approximately $40,000 towards the $115,000 bus camera system. Yeah, the grant is, without the grant, there would not be sufficient funds in CO1 to have any type of scope change to go towards the bus camera systems.
And
were
you going to follow up?
I'm apologizing, but again, I mean, we can apply the grant. You have to do the camera system to apply for this grant.
No, it's separate.
You're separate.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's completely independent.
Yeah.
I mean,
if we don't do bus camera systems, we'll still have $40,000 in the CO1.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a money, but money's fungible. So I mean, we're going to apply for the grant anyway, and even if
we've already been approved
camera,
for the monies. So. You know, they've already told us that we've been approved.
What's the count of buses?
So
How many cameras are we talking? I mean, how many systems?
Approximately 54.
54.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, if I hear you right, we've got CO1, and we're going to be over budget if we don't get the grant. I mean, we're going to buy the three buses, but we're going to be over budget, over that allocation. But if we get the grant, we have a surplus in CO1, and your suggestion for us to consider is if we do have that $40,000 surplus, that we designate it to the cameras, which are outside of the scope of the bond, but it sounds like it's within our discretion to allocate the fund.
Yeah,
you're
right.
So the scope change would, you're absolutely right, we would spend the money if we had the money, and the scope change would just be to change the description on the line item so that we could do it, because right now all we can do is replace 8 buses and put in the
smart tech
system.
Okay. But then it sounds like since we're considering it, there is the ability of the BOC to change the scope of these line items.
Recommend that. Recommend
the
change.
Okay.
I think it's premature. I think we're to make a decision about allocating this line item for this purpose is premature. Every other school system in the state is in the same quandary, and nobody's going to allow next year's buses to run without cameras that are working, whatever it takes. So that down the pike, something's going to occur that will make this system work again. From the standpoint that they can't all go independent, all go out and find cameras for their buses, run their own separate cloud systems, and make the buses have that safety feature that was there today, don't you think?
Well, I don't know that I agree. I mean, we didn't have buses, cameras 5 years ago, but I mean, I agree that this might be premature, but I mean, to me, the camera system was doing a couple things, right? I mean, you were getting stop arm violations, right? Which, I mean, so I'd be interested to know actually how many violations we have. Stuff, you know, it's because the stop arm is, you're going to have a stop arm regardless. The law exists regardless. The camera doesn't actually providing safety. It provides follow up and it provides things.
The outside camera.
And then you've got an inside camera, which gives you some coverage as far as just liability and you know, if something occurs on the bus, then you've got something, which is, you know, these days that's probably a really good idea. And I would say, you know, I don't know, but I imagine there could be a lot of different solutions out there. Right, dash cams are pretty prevalent, and at $2,100 and change per bus, you know, there might be some solutions. So I'm just kind of curious, because covering that liability, I mean, doesn't really require cloud storage and stuff, right? I mean, if you have an incident, it's no different than your car dash cam, right? You can go and say, okay, I need to see what happened on bus 27. Let's go take a look at the footage. You're not doing it in real time, right?
You can watch it real time, but no. Most of the time, you're going back in time.
You're going back in time. That's what you want to cover, right? I mean, as far as if we're checking the boxes, right, and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. we'd feel better if we had a video record of stuff, so that if an incident occurred, we could document it,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
The stop arm, I don't know how folks feel, but I mean, you know, if somebody blew past you, I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah, so if I can preface that is, we are not going to be in the stop arm camera business anymore.
Right.
The city of Westlake Hills is going to actually rewrite their ordinance.
Okay.
So that would be one piece of this, that we would not be putting cameras back on the side of the bus.
Okay, so you're really what you're looking for is an internal bus camera system for
We have a forward facing that faces outside the windshield, but primarily it's interior cameras.
Okay.
So and why are they, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just curious why they're rewriting their ordinance and how that impacts the stop arm program.
So right now, the volatility of the stop arm program in general is in question. So until someone comes along that can provide them with, I think, a sense of...
So is it the backroom management administration of delivering the tickets? That's the challenge?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. And again, I think in the beginning it was running good for them, but I think so much with what's been going on right now, I think they're going to back away from it right now until there's another program that comes along that that can be proven to support that. And me personally, I believe that it needs to happen at the state level. You know, it needs to be a state ordinance before we do anything more with stop arm. It's just like the stop light cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How well did that go?
That
and so
go
this
well.
Is this is no. And so I think this is kind of getting into that area and following that path. And it's unfortunate because it is a great tool, but if it's not implemented and managed correctly, this happens.
It will take one accident to be re-implemented. One child exiting a bus, struck, not killed. That's all it will take once. Somewhere. Not even in needs.
So they're rewriting, the city of Westlake is going to rewrite the ordinance, so that's no longer a violation.
It won't address so they have to, with their ordinance and how they facilitate the violations and things like that they had written in there that kind of
wrote them in for the cameras.
With the third party vendor, so they're taking all that out. It's still against the law to run.
Right.
And so what we're going to do actually as a district, and I've talked with the city of Westlake Hills and Rollingwood, is to partner with them and do, you know, ride on the bus, follow buses, shadow buses, anywhere that we're getting a lot of violations, the drivers see these violations, to have the officer sit there, and they are all for that. So if we do remove the stop arm program, we're going to ramp up some of this, you know, shadowing and things like that, because it is really isolated to just a few areas in the school district that we do get a lot of those violations. So we're going to partner with them. I think that would probably get us better results than this program has provided so far.
You said that the city of Westlake, in general, Eanes ISD is not a big source of funding for this, this system that was in place. Do you have an idea of how many violations we're talking about in a given school year? Or, how serious is the problem, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I think we had like 26 a week across the entire district.
Really?
Wow.
That's a lot more than I would have expected. All right,
trust me, I've ridden buses myself, and it happens all the time. It happened when I was riding on a bus. It just... You know, and what's really happening right now is B Cave is just throwing everyone off. They're throwing everyone off if they stop on one side and they're crossing, and you can't do that. And so I think there's a lot of confusion going on with just the construction as well that's provided.
And at 26 a week, Eanes is at the low end of the spectrum?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Austin ISD, I think they do it in-house. They have their own police department, so they generate $3 million. And after they pay everyone and get all the system, I think they bring in $1 million in revenue.
I wonder how it is per mile, because I mean, that's probably the real factor is that if we just don't drive that many miles.
Yeah.
Like
right.
How many violations per mile you're talking
school
about.
The school district is so much larger than
per bus,
so,
I guess.
Jeremy, can I take the discussion back to
yes,
my original objection?
So
initially I said maybe it's premature, but now there's more clarification in my mind. We're talking about 54 buses that have non-working cameras that have nothing to do with the stop arm camera becoming functional again. It had strictly to do with 54 internal cameras that basically are in the back of the bus and they show the whole shot and have a hard drive that can be accessed.
Yes, sir.
And it's a fixed camera in the back of the bus. There's one per bus.
Well, and there's
six
one
cameras.
Per bus, or there's six per bus?
All right.
Yeah,
so did we decide on six, just out of curiosity, coverage?
Yeah, coverage. And one reason is that newer buses, they're designed differently. They have higher backs.
Right.
So These, if you did a two, one or two camera system, you can't see anything that's happening in those seats. So now we put cameras in the back, in the front, you know, on the driver, one on the stairs, one facing forward, two midship. And so you're getting angles to where you can see some of the action, because if you just have the driver camera looking back in these newer buses, you can't see. And there's right. three generations. There's the old generation, and you can see some. There's this, you know, the second generation where it's a little higher, and now they're just so high because of their, you know, their safety.
324 cameras for $135,000.
Well, but is it seven cameras because you've got the one facing out the front? So six inside and one facing forward?
No, that's included in the
six. That's included, okay.
So basically creating 150, how much, 135, 115?
115.
115 creates six cameras and 54 buses that have a lifetime, that have hard drives, that if anything happens, we go pull the hard drive and find out what happened. Otherwise, they just sit there, cycle through and re-record.
Yeah, so again, the new system's all again, cloud-based, so that the service provider...
Cloud-based.
Yeah, so what happens is we have Wi-Fi that bus pulls in there, and if you need a video, it downloads it automatically if it's in the queue, or we can go and retrieve that. We don't have to pull hard drives.
Good.
We don't have to go through that system.
Okay, so the expected lifetime of these cameras is what? Your typical IT stuff, 5 years, 7 years, max?
Well,
so
yeah, I think this generation
the
is...
Cameras when they vandalize the buses in the yard, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily the lifespan of them.
Uh-huh.
It's the technology in and of itself.
Yeah.
So right now, these cameras we have on board are 5 years old, and they're, you know, just not the best quality. And now they have HD cameras that we can see, and they're just incredible quality that we see. We're not getting a whole lot of camera failure, but we do have some, you know, it's just not great quality video. And so this would replace that and get that up to new HD cameras, which...
You can use this in real time as well, right?
You can view it real time. If you needed to watch a route, you could view it real time if you needed to.
And are there license fees associated with this? Is this just the hardware, or are there license fees that are ongoing with all these cameras?
So this is kind of one-time service that they provide. And then I think there is, I think it's like $1,500, I think, a year in order to, you know, maintain that that cloud-based service.
Have you talked to GoPro?
Yeah.
Why not?
Trust me, when we heard about all this, it was like, okay, GoPro's on the back of every driver's, you know, but...
No.
Yeah, luckily they've advanced technology beyond GoPro now. But again, this is something that we need, and I'm glad that... I clarified your question. I'm glad we circled back around on the stop arm that we are getting out of this business. But this is a system that we have to have inside of our buses. This is something we have to do. But
it's a liability issue.
You've
got to have the record.
It is huge. Yeah.
And so back to the proposal or the scope change. We're not talking about the 115 because we don't have it. We're talking about
the
excess 40.
Well, yeah, we're just talking about changing the light item.
Yeah, exactly. Changing the line item.
Because
the amounts that we're talking about
could change based on whether or not we get this grant.
Right.
So when
right.
he said premature earlier, I thought where you're going was maybe we should know if we're really absolutely getting the grant first.
No, we're getting
no.
the grant.
No,
well,
we don't.
But as
this
said, it's possible they could pull it back.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I guess what we're doing is changing the words of the line item to include the potential to use any surplus for the purpose
correct.
Of getting cameras on the
yes.
buses.
That's correct. Correct.
And it's contingent upon the grant.
But couldn't
because
you
can't
use
yeah.
any
yeah.
overruns from the technology line item, and then you wouldn't have to change this line item, or no?
Oh, so basically any technology...
I think the risk and uncertainty is the same.
He's used it all.
I know.
Yeah.
There's no
bathroom
technology money.
Germs is not fast enough with scope change,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, where's the 75 going to come from if this...
That's a really
40?
Good question.
Yeah.
Got any suggestions?
I
don't know the answer to that yet. We're looking at a couple of different things. Right now I'm leaning towards asking the superintendent to ask the board to allocate some of our other capital funds that we have available from the sale of some properties that we did a few years ago. If he doesn't want to go for that, then I'll put on my thinking cap and try to come up with something somewhere else.
When are you actually trying to get these purchased? When do you need to pull the trigger?
What I would like to do pretty quickly is cover the summer school buses. We have special education buses for summer school, and so I'd like to get the cameras installed ASAP for those. Hence why, you know, we hear if we approve the scope change, recommend it, then I need to order about 8, buses worth somehow. And then the rest of them, it's 2 weeks. From we get them PO, 2 weeks, they have the equipment in their hand, and they can install all of them in a week. So it's a pretty quick turnaround for what it is.
So, Jerry, I thought mm-hmm. that the grant wouldn't be finalized mm-hmm. prior to September 1. So if this is contingent on the grant...
Yeah, but... We have to, no matter what.
We'll come back and reimburse because we've got to buy the 8 buses, and we will replace the 8 buses. Mm-hmm. And if we spend $20,000 this summer, and then it turns out in August that we shouldn't have, then I'll reclass some money and pay for it from another source, and tell the boss to ask for $115 instead of $75.
Okay. All right.
The special education buses seem really important to me as a camera need. Mm-hmm. To me, there's mm-hmm. that's.
That was our goal, no matter what, first round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was summer school buses, then all special education buses, and then you go to, like, your metros that are used for field trips, and then you go to regular route buses. That's kind of the schedule there, even though the biggest priority is special education in the summer school buses.
Tom, you want to restate your move as a motion?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the change of wording to include whatever the words are in that action item.
Expand scope.
To expand the scope of
equipment and bus camera system.
Right. That's what I wanted to say.
Before we raise the motion, I guess just my question is there any argument for not approving the scope change? I mean, is there an argument to be made for why we shouldn't do that? Because if there is, I don't know what it is, but I mean, we should at least... What would be the argument?
I mean, my list would be, because I'm argumentative, how is this different than any other unallocated thing that comes up, right? I mean, you know, when we come up with, you know, X, Y, Z, you know, which, trust me, we want to pull all of these out of either, you know, the BOC or out of bond or something. We don't want it out of operational expenses. So, I mean, I pull all under there, so... So I guess where's the line between expanding a given thing and coming up for unallocated funds, I guess, right? I don't know what the rule is.
It seems to me that the logic that we used when we first amended this line item to include the smart tag equipment was for the same kinds of purposes. This is technology on the buses that was deemed necessary. And we changed the scope of the line from just buses to include the smart tag. Yeah. And I think this is one more
layer.
Additional change of the scope to include these words because it similarly relates to the buses.
Yeah. Well, and it's directly related to child safety as
well.
In much the same way that we talked about the smart tag was the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It seems like that's kind of...
Yeah, it's just we had a line item for video, security, Right, I mean, you can make an argument it goes under there.
Right, yeah.
I don't know that it matters, right. And I don't know that we're going to get beat up about it, but I guess that would just be the question as far as form.
But in the future bus acquisitions, we'll need to include smart tags and bus cameras, and not just buses.
Yeah.
So it kind of, in the scope of the going forward with buses...
Right.
We're not going to be just part of buses.
This is
going to be buses with smart tags and systems and cameras.
Just buses with the necessary appropriate equipment.
There you go.
Racing tires. Technology. Yeah.
That's right. So we'll just increase the buses by $2,000. Yeah. Now the buses will just be $2,000 more expensive because they're going to have the camera systems installed.
Eric, your point is well made, though, because there will come time down the road when we will need to present negative arguments for certain projects and point out certain things. And a good example we just went through with Tom bringing up that, wait a minute, what about this? And then we changed his mind because we provided information that he didn't have, or some of us did not understand, that we weren't talking just about stop. No, we were talking about the inside. Forget the stop.
Well, that's the point of the committee, I think, is to turn over all these stones and make sure that we're doing our due diligence.
And that's what is so good about this particular group, because you do bring up those things, which help clarify, and that's what the board is looking for in our decision. So,
because I was looking to find, because the thing is, one could argue that, you know, BL5, which is an ad update security cameras, but because it's specific to the buses, bless you, that, you know, next time we buy a bus, it's going to have to include.
That's right.
Whereas, you know, buying more buses shouldn't impact BO5 or six, whatever, because that's, you know, specific to the buildings, whereas this is under, like you said, the umbrella of.
What's required now moving forward in terms of, you buy a bus, this is the equipment you need to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So I would like to propose that we expand the scope to include the words.
The motion still stands. Do we hear a second from someone?
Second.
Kim seconds. Any further discussion on this item? Okay, no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That takes care of number 6. And now we come to financial report and investments.
I'm actually going to hop back to our totals page and just kind of show you where we are there.
Let's find our total page first.
Kind of
rocking
these colors, too.
Yeah. I didn't even think. Okay. Let's see. There we go. And takes 2 clicks.
Cindy, you may need to number these pages down the road.
That's a good
Someone
idea.
Needs to.
Okay, so the totals page. Chris and I had a conversation because it was getting kind of complicated down here after we had, you guys had voted last time to move $360,000 up to fire sprinklers. We were kind of trying to decide if that was coming out of interest earnings or other unallocated, and we looked at it like 3 different ways and decided it really didn't matter. We just kind of needed to have a net unallocated. So that's the new number that's at the bottom. So the interest earnings, we're never going to show money coming out of there, even if we're using it. That'll just be accumulated bond today interest earnings. So it's $553,000, it'll keep going up. And the $234 is our E-rate revenue, and that is what it is. And then we just have one net number that shows, you know, how much has gone from and to projects that we've either closed out or we've allocated money to. Like most recently, the E-rate revenue was allocated to a project, and the $360,000 was allocated to the fire sprinklers projects, but we've had some inflows too to our unallocated and some other outflows, and that all nets to $445,000 has come out of unallocated. So you may probably wouldn't have even noticed, but we did change the presentation a little bit where interest earnings is just a revenue line, E-rate rebate is just a revenue line, and then there's one net line for either closed projects or money that we've allocated to or from. So our net unallocated, the black number at the bottom, is what you would call right now how much we have to work with left in out of interest earnings or E-rate or projects. That's kind of your bottom line number. So we thought it made it a little easier to look at. So hope you do too.
Cindy, there may be 2 other numbers you may next time wish to put on there, and that is that how close we are to our bar.
Yes, and I do have that on my reconciliation slide.
as well. So I'll get to that too in just a minute.
Okay.
So on our financial report investments, we still have the Freddie Mac we've had since 2015. The interest rate doesn't look so good now at 1.1 because we're earning 1.92 on the majority of our money, which is in the pools. So the pools are paying 1.92 now, which is nice. And our Freddie Mac will mature in October, which is probably about when we're going to need it to mature for paying for stuff. So so that's nice. And that's just a graphical illustration of where we are with our pool and our federal agency. So this is where we started at $52.5 million. Here's how much money has gone out the door as of April 30th. We've spent 85%. Spent plus encumbered, I think, is 95%. And a big encumbered item is the furniture that will get delivered this summer and whatnot. So I think we think that we'll be at our threshold for the Bach dissolution August, September time frame. Is that fair?
Yes. Which leads us to the next thing that I think you wanted to talk about, right?
Yes, it does.
So anyway, this is just sort of a recap, our interest earned today, and shows where how we get to how much cash and investments we have. So that's my check figure to make sure that all my accounting is straight. And so that was the 85% was okay. Kind of our benchmark there.
Now that is actual, as we agreed upon, money spent out the door.
Yeah, no. Money out the door, because encumbrances can change.
Right.
So, but that's the money out the door as of April 30th.
Right, good deal.
So that's investments and cash flow and whatnot.
All right. That leads us to another major item, which is not on the agenda, but it certainly pertains to all of us. And that is, some people have been thinking a lot about the future and bond issues, and some people, the suggestion has been made at least, that our board, have a little help from us. And that suggestion was not taken lightly, and lo and behold, it has been considered that they would like this BOC to consider being reconstituted in August, September to be a bond advisory committee. Now, this is a first, you might say, especially for this district as well as the vast majority of others. And in such a role, we would serve the function of helping the board make decisions on some monetary aspects of the bond to propose. Now, you look at the reasons why they selected this group, it's because you all have provided exemplary service to them, to the board, in terms of these items as they come before us and the discussions we've had on them. And every and each one of you has contributed significantly to that whole process. And they recognize that. They recognize that this committee could provide them a wealth of service in the bond advisory capacity. And it would not be a regular meeting every month, that kind of thing. Because, of course, they have to be ready for the bond, which they are proposing to come before the public next May. But they need some help in certainly the financial end of it, is what projects are going to be happening, et cetera. But they wanted also me to bring this up for y'all to consider and to give some kind of indicator that y'all would be interested in doing this, either individually or as a group. I'd prefer as a group, of course. But because it is quite a recognition on each of your parts to be considered in such a group as that. And so, with that, I will open it to Chris, who will tell you a little bit more about what's expected from a bond advisory committee. Now, this is sort of in flux because they have not had one before. And it's just like when they set up the first block. It was sort of a give and take for a while over the first year or so. And then the rules were changed to accommodate certain decisions, et cetera, on that. So, Chris, what are they thinking at this time?
A lot of the discussion revolved around, well, we think we need to get some community input, you know, to help us, you know, construct the bond in the best way, you know, and we should maybe do it kind of like we set up the BOC, and you know, we're all of us who are see you every month are thinking the time it would take for us to get a group to the institutional knowledge that you already have.
This is a shortcut for you.
It's a shortcut. Well, if you want to put it that way, yes, it's a shortcut for us. If we did it that way, we would have already need to be meeting with them just to be bringing them up to speed on how these. We expect the next bond to probably be fairly similar to this one, which will be largely a maintenance bond. And you guys are up to speed on those kinds of bonds. And so what I envision is, number one, us bringing to you, you know, our proposals on what we need to do and our thinking behind it. And also, I would really like your input on how best to describe the line items. I would like to not have to come to you and change one, you know, a line item twice so that we can put cameras in buses. But there also needs to be enough give and take such that the next BOC can provide meaningful oversight. You can't be so vague that we could do whatever we want, but I don't like it so specific that we can't do something interesting. Another thing that was written into this one, again, about these buses, was that we must replace 8 buses. And so if we had a bus that we wanted to keep in reserve out of those 8 buses for emergencies, we can't do it. Because of the way it was written, we need to get rid of them. And so I'm really hopeful that when we come to you with these, you can help us to write these line items, number one, such that the community understands what it is we intend to do, but number two, it doesn't constrain us unnecessarily. And so I think that you guys all have a pretty good idea of how that might work.
Any reactions to all of this?
Yeah. So is the suggestion that you would keep the BOC constituted the way it is, or you would expand the participation?
I think it would have to be rechartered. And so
recharted,
essentially,
same numbers from my perspective.
Right. And so
same numbers, same people, I hope.
You all signed up for this 3 years ago, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of you were looking forward to not being on the BOC anymore. And we fully understand that. And if that's the case, then we would probably come in and just replace those of you who would like to leave.
It's a little different role from the BOC now.
Yeah. Well, would this be a standing committee then? Is that
no
suggestion?
No. We perceive that it would probably. So if for example, our last BOC meeting is in August.
Right.
Recharter in our first, whatever we call the new thing, in September, and it would probably run through December.
Right.
Specifically for this next
specifically to help determine what the would be in the next bond.
So it'll be a single purpose committee.
Right.
That is finalized and that's dissolved, and if it, in the future you want another advisory committee, you would bring in additional
people. I assume that at that point you actually would fully dissolve, and then next, if assuming that the bond passes in May, next probably August, show up and we'd have a brand new BOC, and some of you might be on it.
Right.
So essentially extend our service in order to get this the district through the next.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that you would write the next BOC to include that role?
I haven't had those discussions, although we've, you know, that's kind of in the back of my mind that that might be a good way of proceeding in the future, that the BOC is, would help, you know, develop the next bond and following them.
Yeah, that depends on how good this one is.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. And not everyone, yeah. Another BAC. You know?
We'll have 6 months to figure out if we want to do that again.
Right.
Yes. The opportunity for the public to participate and for the recharge of enthusiasm and has to always be kept open. And so if you establish a number, say it's 12, with X number of backups, there has to be a way for new blood, new enthusiasm to access both this group that you're discussing as well as the next BOC, because it's critical. We have to have that regeneration of interest, the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get long in the tooth and set in your ways, and sure. It's time to step down and make room for the...
Well, I would see this, Tom, in a far more open committee in terms of encouraging the public and each of us bringing in people and saying, hey, if you're interested in the bond issue coming up, come to our meeting then.
Yeah.
For that. And it's a little different from the BOC. The bond's already passed, now we're worried about how we spend the money. But it actually, people are more interested in, well, what do we need a bond for to start with?
I think we could have a lot more people involved in the open forum situation if we're
totally
considering
involved.
What is. Right. So it's like that. Exactly. That changes our role, because I mean, we don't have a lot of audience participation.
You'll have to bring more cookies.
Cookie brigade, man. Include this with your wife.
I found it to be incredibly interesting to hear over the many months. The way these line items were developed for the last bond, I mean, it was an arduous process, and it was fraught with change and so forth. And to get a little bit ahead of the curve in streamlining it and be able to kind of like, hey, we got a template here. We already know a lot of the words, what D1 is. Let's just, you know, tweak it and refine it, and then you can rely on that template moving forward. And then becomes a consistent format that the public can become familiar with. You know, oh yeah, 5 years ago the bond issue, D5 was a big amount, and it's not on the agenda this year, but we're used to it. We know where to find it instead of reinventing. So I think it's really great to do it. I don't think it'll take as long as it's ever taken before.
I think the last one is also part of the reason we feel constrained as we're getting towards the end now, and part of the reason why our line items are written so specifically was because of the failed attempt in 2014.
Yeah, that's right.
And so to address some of those questions, you know, the 2015 bond was written in a much more
transparent,
specific way than they had been in the past.
Right.
And perhaps we've, you know, with the help of the BOC, had a little bit more goodwill with the community, and maybe, you know, we can not be quite so specific, but still give all the information that people really need and want.
And also, it was on a smaller scale.
It was
the one that failed, and so the inference there is that then these bonds would need to be on a more regular cadence because they're not covering so much in one fell swoop.
Also, in August, we will be considering the uses of unallocated funds as well. That'll be a fairly deep discussion on that. And I know Ray has already approached me with some aspects of the project he's proposing to us. So, yes, so you'll be quite, not that we're surprised, but we'll look forward to that too, yes. And so, any further business that we need to discuss at this time?
So, can you just clarify the commitment level? It's
the the discussion at the board level was along the lines of, yes, let's use the BOC. And so I think what it's going to look like is yet to be determined. I would probably envision it as monthly meetings over a relatively short period of time. And I suspect you're right. There probably will be more community participation, which means it'll probably go longer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did I hear you say September to December? So if we're thinking this could be exactly a 4 month or whatever exercise.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah, once a month.
Yeah. So the bond will have to be called. It's called maybe in February or March.
That's like February.
Is it February? But you know the board. Obviously, the board will want enough time with the finished product to show the community before they start. Of course, it's called, but it's not voted on until May. But you know that's a process. That's not my process or our process. Our process is trying to get it into a good form that the community will support.
Oh, I see. So this isn't to cover the bond if it passes. It's simply to help.
This is
like a tail of the bond.
You're seeing the beginning of a bond issue.
It's not a continue on to a 2019 bond.
It
is running up to and until we
hand it off to the board, and then they take it from there.
And we hand it off to the board,
and then they hand it up. Then they hand off the hopefully passed bond to the next bond.
It's actually a really interesting perspective because of the way bonds are usually done. You got one chance, you sit on the committee, and then you're done. And then if you're the city of Austin, you formed another committee to advise on the next. And that's a pretty normal process, mm-hmm. I think. Sometimes maybe they're the same people, and sometimes they're not.
Right.
Well, this is a little different out here.
I'd like to give you some feedback or my response.
Okay.
I'd be happy to participate, personally. I'd be thrilled to participate with the same group of people, and I'd be very interested in having others either in the audience participate. 4 months is a very short period of time after summer and when school starts. We have a board that's got its schedule, and they need to know about things before they have that meeting that's prepared. So they know what their schedule is going to be the next first 4 months of the school year. So with the positive feedback from us, knowing that we're willing, get back to us with some details, like this room on the same Tuesday nights on that second and fourth
that
week
would be,
of September, October,
that,
November.
That would be our
December, because nothing's going to happen in December.
Yeah, continue to meet between the two board meetings in this room.
Right. Isn't that kind of
same? Issue.
That gives them the opportunity to hear from you or whomever what happens, I would think.
So, yes. All right. Any other?
Do you mind if we take just a show of hands? Obviously, we won't hold you to it, but
those of you
if you might be interested in participating,
That's it.
Awesome.
Well, gosh. Well,
let the record show everybody raise their hand.
I don't think I saw that in Red House's hand.
Mike's not here. You guys can pressure him.
Sorry, Mike.
Peer pressure.
Dear Mike, congratulations. Well,
yes. We volunteered you.
Voluntold is a friend of mine to say. You've been voluntold.
This y'all provide y'all quite a little insight into how this process works, the creation of a bond and moving forward. Also, my goodness, look how nice the look on your resumes. Yes. All right. Next regular scheduled meeting is June the 12th, 2018. And we have not set a date for August yet. We will do that after at our meeting on June the 12th.
No, no July. It is the 14th. I just checked. The date in August is the 14th.
In August the 14th?
Mm-hmm. But we will not meet in July for sure.
Not one meet in July, no. Okay. August 14th.